Frank Bull is brought to you by CBD American Shaman in Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness at 117th and Row in Camelot Court. Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness is the perfect place to start your wellness journey, offering medical aesthetics and IV nutrient therapy. Go to shamantotalwellness.com.
He's the only man to interview modern-day gladiators at Arrowhead and original gladiators in the Coliseum. He grew up rooting for Honus Wagner and saw Jesse Owens get 4 golds in Berlin. He saw Wilt score 100 in a night. Points, of course. Yes, we are saying he's old. It's the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bull, on the program.
Quit laughing.
Did you get that, Jed? Did it come through yet? Did you get it?
I did.
Oh, God, what a nightmare.
Strong. Let me see. See if I can. Hang on. I'm going to. Do you have your Twitter open, Frank?
Yes, I do. Where are we on this deal here?
Well, I've got too many damn things popping up.
Where's it from?
I'm going to have to do it on a different device. For whatever reason, it's not working on that device.
I'll text it to Frank right now.
Thanks, buddy.
No, I want to tweet it. I want to see if I can get it on the Twitter for everybody to enjoy. Let's see. This was sent to me, and I'm going to put a does that work? No, it doesn't work. How do you make it? Damn it. Can you tweet that, Curtis, on mine? And call it Jed's Dream Day at the ballpark?
just a GIF, yeah, I can do that.
Yes, please. I'm just so happy. Yeah, send it over.
I got it.
Isn't that great?
That's a good one. I like that. Thanks, Jed.
Jed's Dream Day at the ballpark.
There it is.
Yeah. I don't know why it's so funny. If it's the expression, the lack of expression change, not sure, but that amuses me. So, I digress. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't send that out. What do you think, Curtis?
I wouldn't send that out.
Yeah, I think maybe not.
No.
Also, the fact that I would be somehow tagged in that,
absolutely.
Would haunt me forever. Don't
well,
do
then
that.
That's okay. Send it out then if it's just Jed.
I
think the answer can be found in the decision that I just made. I was about to send it on mine, and I thought,
no.
I'm putting this on Sorens. I thought, well, if I made that decision, maybe we should. Couldn't just do it ever.
The more I said, looked at it, I'm like,
that's not a real good
way.
Yeah, right. That's not a real good look.
No.
Yes. Never mind. But it was funny. Now everybody's going, okay, what is it? Well, these guys don't.
They're like, no, I've got to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Curtis called off the jam. Blame Curtis.
I might send that. Follow me on Twitter, and maybe sometime later this evening, I'll just inadvertently shoot that.
No, yeah, when Curtis gets boozed up off his one Moscow mule and tweets out.
I decide I want to tangle with Kansas basketball fans or somebody. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, take this.
Here's a 17-tweet conversation with someone
Barrage.
For no stupid reason. Let me try that. Anything about that, mister?
I'm not saying you need to find more things to do, but you get into entirely too many Twitter spats.
Less recently.
Oh, well, yes. Ever since January.
I have not done.
Do you think they just see as an easy mark?
I think they want to fight.
I think they
know they can get a rise out of you, so they're coming at you.
I have a friend that does that via text. No, not
yet. The Twitter people get a little.
My friend Matt will get me every once in a while. I'll be like 5 texts, and I'm like, oh, that's right. He's just doing this just to irritate me. Then he sends back a big smiley face. Hee hee, love you, buddy. I'm like, you did it again, Matt.
That's it.
Still falling for it 30 years later, but not really. I think Twitter people have enough people. Are there enough angry people on Twitter that I don't think anyone feigns anger when they're not mad.
They're just angry.
I think people are
just angry. Yeah. It's where it is.
Yeah.
It's been a year. Well. It's been quite a year.
yes. Yes, it's been quite a year, and the year continues. All right, Frank Bull is with us, brought to you by our friends at CBD American Shaman. The moose out front should have told you, or the big voice guy should have told you that, which he did moments ago. Frank, first of all, what was your reaction when you heard Eric Fisher was ready to go mid-August?
Two things stunned me. Number one, that did, okay? And whether ready to go by August means to me full go of practice, you know, and full go for opening day. It does not mean, okay, he's back. Now I can start participating in some football-related activities. Okay, so I'm not sure what it means, but either way, it seems way ahead of schedule. Now, what they're doing with stem cells and the kind of treatment these guys get, which is the best in the world, okay. I guess things have really changed as far as Achilles tendon surgeries are concerned and reparations are concerned for those, you know, the way they repair those. So, and how much it'll affect his other Achilles tendon, we know that has a tendency to happen. One Achilles tendon gets ruptured, next thing you know, that one's fixed, and there goes the other one. So we'll have to see what happens there. That's still very much up in the air as far as I'm concerned, as far as Eric Fisher being available to be the left tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs for the opening four, five, or six games. So that's still up in the air for me. Even Mitchell Schwartz is up in the air a little bit with a back injury. You just never know, as Timmy Grunhardt told you yesterday, and will continue to tell anybody who'll listen about backs. The thing that really surprised me, well, that surprised me most was Fisher, okay? But the thing that really surprised me was Patrick Mahomes, 3 months. I mean, that operation on his turf toe, I think, was way more serious, I think, than at least I believed it was. Okay, now I know
you. Did anybody ever officially say it was a turf toe?
No, I think that's. Did they ever say it was a turf toe? I thought.
I don't.
Maybe not.
I don't recall an official designation, but that's what everyone said it was called. But
I think he referred to it as turf toe at one time. I think because he said he never had one in high school or college, and but other guys had had turf toes and all that. I vaguely remember that, but having an operation now, it is on your foot, and. It's going to take a while just because, you know, how much pressure can I put on it? How much weight can I put on it? How much can I do on it? How much will it flex or whatever? But that one really took me by surprise as well. There was going to be a 3 month rehabilitation on that. So I just thought that might be a little bit more serious than I had thought it was going to be. Because sometimes a turf toe, if it is a turf toe, will heal on their own. Let alone have to go through an operation and then have to rehab it and get back on top of that foot.
So with the fact that your quarterback is having surgery,
mm-hmm.
that limited his movement and had to scramble out like his hair was on fire all throughout the Super Bowl, your off-season plan is what concerning your offensive line?
Well, I really think you have to go – I think they're going to have to bite the bullet somewhere, and however they are going to – work out their salary cap situation, which I think the latest thing I got is going to be between 180 and 185 million. I don't think it's going to get up over that 190 million. Everybody thinks it might. So that's just the latest one I've seen that could possibly change. But you're going to have to get out from underneath that. And I think you might have to bite the bullet to bring somebody like you're talking about Trent Williams, to bring someone like that in to protect Patrick Mahomes, because I think it is the number one priority for this team. And I've said this for a long time, this entire last season, at least the last half of it, he was running a lot for his life. He ran a lot. He got hit a lot. He took some shots, and they kept running the option play. And I'm just going, oh, my God, quit running that play. And I'm not talking about the RPOs. I'm talking about the option play where he – it was a decision whether.
Yeah, but some of those RPOs are him running it.
Yes, it is. It is. And those, any time that he is one of the two options, that's just not a good idea for me. And I know it takes away part of their offense and maybe takes away a little bit of the fact that the defense now can approach you and physically attack you a different way if that's not going to be the situation.
Well, it gets easier to defend.
Yes, right.
No doubt.
It does.
If you take his threat of the run out of the equation, it gets easier to defend you.
But I think he'll always be a threat to run once he is flushed out of the pocket and he's running around back there trying to find an open receiver. I think he'll always be a threat that way, so that will always be in the back of their mind. So, but
some of those short passes are designed with he shows the run, which freezes the he comes down the line, which freezes the defensive end, which creates the throwing lane. And so you'd be taking some of that away. Now, listen, Tom Brady clearly didn't have any run options, and they were able to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I am saying you'll be taking away a little bit of the offense. You know, one of the things that I think would be neat or would be helpful, maybe not neat, but would be helpful, is if you got like a third-string quarterback. Like if you could find, and obviously not this guy's, but a guy like this, if you could find you a Tim Tebow. Not what people hoped Tim Tebow would be, what Tim Tebow really was. A quarterback that can run, or Taysom Hill, right? But I have no interest in paying him $10 million a year.
No.
But find a guy down towards the league minimum that could be your sneak, and if you want to run the ball on third and one or fourth and one, put the guy in the game the way Jacoby Brissett comes in the game, came in the game last year for the Colts. When they wanted a quarterback sneak it, Jacoby Brissett came in. And so then they're like, oh, okay, it's always going to be a sneak. No, he throws the ball well enough that if you wanted to be like, okay, we show the play action or he fakes the quarterback sneak and then he does a jump pass, you know, jumps up and dinks it over to the tight end for a quick gain, you know, or he runs the option down the line. A guy who's really a quarterback, he's actually a quarterback, you know, not some wideout that you put back there or a running back to just run the wildcat. A real guy who played option football in college that hopefully can play your special teams, be a great special teams gunner and all those kind of things, so that he's not taking up a roster spot just to be the quarterback. And maybe he is, your number two quarterback and you have, you know, somebody else on the roster or on the practice squad and you just say, hey, we're going to plan on getting through the year with Patrick Mahomes, but this is our number two quarterback that's active and we also have him playing special teams and that kind of thing. But if you had that kind of guy that could provide those short yardage, you know, okay, you know the quarterback's a runner because we've run him 15 times. So you have to defend him as a run, but he can also at least make a slant pass, you know, or throw long. You know, he's actually thrown a football. I think that would be a great weapon to have behind Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it would. I don't. What about who's the third string guy? Jordan Tamu?
Tamu.
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 Tamu, yeah. They cut.
Oh, that's right.
Okay,
they
cut him.
Brought back and then cut again, I think.
So who is it now?
It's Matt Moore.
Okay.
I mean, it was. He's a free agent now. So.
Okay.
But Matt Moore was down with the practice squad, and he was the third string quarterback.
Right. So they don't have a guy like that. What if they use somebody else as the call it a wildcat for no, you know, call it a wildcat guy? What if they have another guy on the roster who actually has played some quarterback in his career? How about Travis Kelce? Somebody. I'm just throwing a name out there. Don't.
Have to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, because I think that you run it three or four times, and then they're just playing you as a runner, and then you throw it. I mean, I think if there's, you know, who was the guy that, I mean, people thought more of him than this, but the Mississippi State quarterback after Dak Prescott.
Oh.
God, what was his name?
Yes.
He was actually even more of a runner, much more of a runner than Dak Prescott. White kid. God bless.
Kellen Mond?
No, he's at A&M now.
Oh, that's right.
But Kellen Mond is a guy. There's a name for you. Kellen Mond. If he doesn't get drafted, sign him as an undrafted free agent. And, you know,
Brandon
you don't need
Hill.
Him to be your quarterback in the future. You just need him to be able to throw a handful of different kinds of passes so that he's a threat running it and throwing it.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think it'd be great. I just want to get Patrick Mahomes out of that situation. He's still going to have to run. He still has great legs. He's still a quick guy. And he'll still be able to move, make people miss, and get out there. I just don't want him to run the real option play. I wouldn't. And now pushing off with that foot, we'll have to see how that goes as far as trying to quarterback sneak it as well. So you're right. I think another guy in there would be perfect guy to have as long as he could do other things because they might not want to hold a roster spot open just for that. He might have to play special teams and do some other things. So,
yeah. I think that to me
Nick
would
Fitzgerald.
Be that's a luxury.
Nick Fitzgerald?
Yeah, Nick Fitzgerald. You know, somebody who's thrown the football in his college career, but is also a tremendous runner and probably, you know, it'd be great if, well, maybe he'll end up being a quarterback, right? But ideally, just a guy who's a threat running the ball and, you know, and can throw it so that on those plays you've got to defend the receivers and it helps open up the runs. I think if you did that, number one, you could get better on fourth and one and third and one because the quarterback sneak is the easiest way to get it. But it would also just kind of add a different dimension to the offense, and it would protect Mahomes so that if he does, you know, like you said, scramble out of passing plays and run, or if he runs on a couple of RPOs, you're taking away any design runs you feel are the best play on that short yardage. You're at least getting him out of those situations. Like he would not, the play that he got concussed on, you know, against Cleveland, he would not be running that play.
Right.
This guy would be running that play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to get him out of harm's way that way, you know, to me, because, you know, as we're all sort of looking, you're thinking he's going to be a 15 to 20-year quarterback for this franchise. Possibility of those things happening. Tom Brady's still playing at his age. Patrick Mahomes may be. But the more you run him and the more you put him in harm's way, you start ticking the years off of that longevity as far as he's concerned. Because he's just going to turn the wrong way at the wrong time, and that'll be it.
Yeah. What else are you looking for in the offseason, knowing you don't have much money? Do you like my Mitch? I like the idea of going for Trent Williams. If you can get him signed, figure out what the price is that he's worth.
Yeah, and what
if
he
you
wants.
Get him signed on a four-year deal that you could walk after three, and then I cut Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. Don't like doing it, but if I could get Trent Williams, I would do it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I agree with you. And they could try again, maybe, and you talked about a little bit earlier, guys who are not Trent Williams types, but are pretty solid offensive linemen. There's a lot of unrestricted free agents out there. It just depends on, you know, are they any good? Okay, so you don't want to put anybody up in front of them that isn't any good. There's going to be a lot of guys, and I think I think Diana Rossini today was talking to an anonymous, she didn't name the head coach, who said it, but he said, it's going to be a massacre on cut day. It's going to be, so to sit and wait and have an idea, here comes some more people, available people that we could use up front, then that might be the best way to do it. I know it's great to see these guys we see already, but I think there's going to be maybe a lot more possibilities out there.
I agree there'll be possibilities, but Trent Williams was the highest graded offensive tackle in football.
Right. So I agree with
that. That's what makes him, like, let's set our price what we think it's worth. Let's give him a take it or leave it deal. If he takes it, great. We're cutting our two tackles. If he doesn't, I also like the kid Moten from the Panthers. He's another guy. But I think the Panthers are going to put the tag on him, and he's not going to get out there. I think I don't know that the Niners want to put a tag on. Maybe they do. Maybe that's their plan. Is, hey, we tag him, we'll go year by year. But Trent Williams has also proven he'll hold out. Like, he did it with football team. So, like, if he said, don't put the tag on me because I'll hold out.
Right.
I've done it before. Then you're the Niners. You better listen to it. So I think he'll actually be out there. And if he's the guy that's out there, that's the difference, is you're getting the best.
Yeah.
And I think having the best guy protecting Patrick Mahomes is a good idea.
I think if you're going to go free agent, you get him or you don't get anybody in that regard. Don't go the next level down. I think you're throwing money away. If you go get Trent Williams, or you go to a different store to get your tackles.
Or you go to the draft store.
Or you go to the draft, yeah.
But then you're depending on a rookie.
I don't think you get your second level guys, because you're not going to get the value there.
Right. Now, then you're depending on a rookie to fill that spot, which is – that's a tough spot to fill as a rookie, especially with that kid playing quarterback behind you.
But if you thought that was a problem, then you shouldn't have been re-signing everybody you were re-signing last year, because this is not a surprise. I mean, it's a surprise that both guys got hurt with injuries that could be contenders.
Yeah.
But the fact that a couple of guys on your team over the age of 30 – are facing career-ending injuries, that should not stun you.
Yeah. They had to figure they were going to have to make moves at both those positions within at least a couple of years, or maybe three at the most.
And then they were into the run-it-back tour, so they were going to get everybody back, try to keep the team together as much as possible to be able to run it back, because everybody knew each other and knew, you know, what was up. But then guys start going down. There are some other interesting names, you know, Alejandro Villanueva, the guy from Pittsburgh, is an unrestricted
free
agent.
No way he leaves Pittsburgh. Do you think he
I don't know. I'm just saying there's some other guys. And then the kid from the Giants, who's a Cameron Fleming, that kid, he's only 20, and he's a young guy. He's younger. He's 29. Didn't he go from Dallas to the Giants? I think he went from Dallas to Giants at one time, so I don't know if he's available. But there's some other interesting names. Russell Okung, of course, is 33, and he's had some injuries, and he has blood clots and all sorts of stuff. So,
And Russell Okung, I'm not paying good money for Russell Okung.
No, I agree. I agree.
Trent, I mean, like to me, like I've been through the names. I think there's two guys. As far as tackles are concerned, right? Yeah, as far as tackles are concerned, I think there's two guys. Let me and let me come back here because I had it on tight ends. So let me tackles. Trent Williams, Taylor Moten, and then that's it. I mean, Alejandro Villanueva graded okay. I mean, graded pretty good. But, like, I think someone's going to give him too much money. If I'm wrong, I do think one thing's to your point, Frank, not only the cuts – but I thought Brett Veach said something really interesting when he said, you know, the way free agency works, he said the cap's going down. He said he was kind of expecting, you know, that the first wave would get what they usually get. So, like, Trent Williams is going to get
what he wants.
The number one offensive tackle at age 32 would always mm-hmm. get. But that the second-tier guys are going to be disappointed in their deal. So who's the second-tier guy? I don't think Moten is, but is Russell Okung, Alejandro Villanueva, Darrell Williams from the Bills, are those guys going to be sitting there being like, okay, I'll take one for seven, or I'll take one for two, you know, with incentives that can take it to nine? You know, are they going to be sitting there and, like, they're waiting for their three-year deal and no one's offering it,
right?
And then you're right, then you can go, do you want a shot at a World Series? Or
Super Bowl.
I bet the baseball game on here. At a Super Bowl? You know, then here, sign on here. So I do think you're right. I think the second wave could be a place to get a lot of bargains. And that's you know, something to consider. Like, what would be better, Trent Williams, or let's go bargain hunting and get three or four or five guys?
Yeah.
For the same money Trent Williams would cost.
Yes, and not only tackles, but you could then sort of solidify or try to help solidify your interior line play as well, center and guard. You know, you just don't, if you throw that money at Trent Williams, then you're sort of set with your other guys. But you still now, if you're going to cut both Fisher and Schwartz, now you're looking for a right tackle as well. Now, I know one of the guys in the current roster might be able to fill that. Maybe somebody who's on the second level as far as cuts are concerned will end up being free agents out there, might be able to fill that position as well. But that's the decision you have to make.
I think the goal is to head into every draft having a starter at every position that you're comfortable starting with right now.
Yep.
And I don't think you have that on the offensive line. Like, if you had to play football today, and this will be true on draft day as well, Lucas Niang probably lines up at left tackle, Martinez Rankin at right tackle.
Oof.
Darrell Williams, a guy who was undrafted last year and on the practice squad as your center. I believe he's the only center on the roster. Your guards would be Nick Allegretti and
no, because Wisniewski won't be here.
Yeah,
that won't.
Wisniewski's a free agent. I'm talking about what you actually
have in a contract.
Actually have under contract. Andrew Wiley is a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
so
right.
You control whether or not he comes back, but he's not actually under contract.
Right.
You know, Remmers is not under contract. Austin Ryder is not under contract. Daniel Kilgore is not under contract. I think you actually are looking at, you're looking at Yasir Durant.
Well, you got LDT too, remember, I think. Did you say that? You didn't say LDT?
I did not. You do have LDT. Uh-huh. That's right.
You got him too.
LDT and a guard.
Brett Veach said
if you're confident he's going to play.
Yeah, they expect him back, so.
Are you 100% convinced he's going to be back?
No, I'm not 100%. Convinced. I think the
COVID
recent, thing.
The
will
more
be,
recent news, the news yesterday that we should all be able to have the vaccine by the end of May.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think things are looking up long term to the point where he's more likely to come back than if we were sitting here going, we don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I do believe he'll be back. Yeah,
but I'm not 100% though.
No, but I'm
no, but I, But, like, I believe Yang will be back, but I'm not 100% on him either.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you worry about the guys now. LDT's been out for a year doing what he does and what he's going to end up doing for the rest of his life eventually. That he is really into it, and, gosh, you know, this is where I really want to be on. Or I don't know if I really want to play football or not. And then the Yang's the same way. Yeah. How badly do you want to come back after you're off and want to play?
With LDT, it could come down to – yeah, things are looking great, and I'm not as needed as I was a year ago. But, you know, a year away from football and doing this, I kind of don't want to go back now.
I've fallen back in love with what my
longtime career was going to do.
Sure.
Why do I want to go get beat up for 12
hours? I'll take LDT at his word.
Yeah.
But I will not, like I said, on draft day, I want to know I can line up and start five guys. And I don't know that right now. I don't know if Niang's going to come back. I think both he and Duvernay-Tardif are going to come back. And if he does, I'm starting again. Darrell Williams, undrafted center who spent a year on the practice squad. He's the starting center. I think is Brian Witzman. I think he's back. So Brian Witzman, who did start a couple games for you a few years ago. Did Wisniewski sign a two-year deal? Because I'm showing him not red.
I don't. And they picked him up off the scrap heap, right, from the Steelers. Steelers cut him.
Yeah, I think they signed him to a two-year deal, because this one site that does depth charts,
they have him starting.
They have him in blue. No, they have guys that are going to be gone. It's not a depth chart of active guys. It's a depth chart that just have a depth chart. I'm looking here. Come on, open. All right, we'll find out.
Still looking.
Still. Apparently, Spotrac is not convinced of his contract status either.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to open it up.
You're getting that too, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Witzman is under contract. Now, what about Wisniewski, guy? I digress. This is a spot where we want to talk about Frank, because you will know these things. Baylor won their first championship. I'll keep looking and I'll update what Wisniewski is.
Okay.
But Baylor won their first championship in 50 years.
71. Since 1950.
Since 1950, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. That's where I had 50 minutes. 71 years. Do you know what was going on back then, Frank?
The one thing I do know, I was 2.5. Moving towards my third birthday.
That'll tell you something.
That'll tell you all you need to know about 71 years ago, okay?
Curtis has looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
This will be good.
This is everything that happened that year. Good. No, actually, this is some of the highlights, and I kind of got this these cordoned off into various sections. This would have been springish or summer of 1950.
By the way, Wisniewski not signed according to Spotrac.
Not signed for Wisniewski.
I finally got it, so.
All right, the number one film that summer was Annie Get Your Gun, a musical comedy based loosely on the life of sharpshooter Annie Oakley with music and lyrics by Irving Berlin. Television saw the debut of What's My Line and Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows. Later that year, the debut of an American comedy quiz show called You Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx.
All in black and white, by the way.
On the radio, the big songs in 1950, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by future Angels owner Gene Autry, Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy by Red Foley, and I had to put a good song in there, Mona Lisa by the great Nat King Cole. Elvis Presley was 15 years old, living in Memphis. John Lennon was in Liverpool, looking forward to his 10th birthday in October. The fall of 1950 brought two new comic strips to the papers, Beetle Bailey and a little gem from a 28-year-old Minneapolis man named Charles Schulz called Peanuts.
The beginning of Peanuts.
Wow. Was in October of that year. Looking through the New York Times, you can get a broiled Maine lobster with French fried potatoes, fresh vegetables, salad, rolls, and butter for $2.25 at the Red Coach Grill on 58 and 5th. Get yourself a Scott AM/FM radio with 12-inch speaker, 20-watt output, and a 3-speed phonograph for merely $398 at Liberty Music Shops. $400
That's big money back in those. That's almost a car.
Median family income was $3,300 in 1950. Car shopping.
And you had to give more than 10% of it for a freaking record player?
With a 12-inch speaker and 20-watt output.
Hey, you spent a lot of time at home.
Car shopping, how about a 1950 Buick Special sedan, four-door radio, heater, white walls, and seat covers, just $2,150 at Monarch Buick. Or no money down and payments as low as $45 a month on all 1950s at Embassy Motors. In sports, the Yankees were looking to repeat as World Series champs. They were just one title into their run of five consecutive. The Minneapolis Lakers beat the Syracuse Nationals for the NBA title in the first season that it was actually called the NBA. It was the Basketball Association of America prior to that. One person probably not watching at his home in Long Island, two-month-old Julius Erving. The NFL was all abuzz that year as the addition of the Cleveland Browns, San Francisco 49ers, and Baltimore Colts was coming up. Baylor was in the Final Four that year. They fell to Bradley in the national semifinal. Bradley lost to CCNY in the title game. By the way, Baylor did not win another NCAA tournament game until Scott Drew made the Elite Eight in 2010.
Holy mackerel.
So I ask you, after we put into perspective how long it's been since that school won an outright conference title.
How about Bradley? How about Bradley and CCNY in the Final Four?
By the way, one more news note. President Truman ordered the development of the hydrogen bomb. The Korean War began months later.
There you go.
So let me ask you, is what Scott Drew did a bigger accomplishment than what Bill Snyder did in winning a conference championship at K-State?
Well, you had talked about this earlier. I will always think Bill Snyder probably achieve more.
Then there's no point in asking you because you're not giving thought to anything else.
No, I gave it thought when I heard you talking
about
it.
I'll always do it.
There was a murder,
no matter what.
There was a murder in the basketball program, and it was totally dissolved. Yeah, he brought it from the ashes. Just like Bill. Now, they didn't have any murders on campus at
K-State. Which makes a compelling case for what Scott Drew did being a bigger accomplishment.
It does, but maybe now he's got to do more than that because, well, Bill didn't win a conference, did he?
What
did
Bill? What he Bill won win. One more conference championship.
Yes, one more. Right.
So, in going from where Bill was when they walked off that field against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. Uh-huh. By the way, if we're going where we watched those games, I was at the Gordon Biersch in Las Vegas for that game, Curtis, if you were remembering great moments in local sports history, locations of viewings. Is where Scott Drew is further along in a bigger turnaround than where Bill Snyder was when he walked off the field beating Oklahoma in that championship game?
Gosh, I don't know. Might be a toss-up.
Is it because you're yellow and won't make a commitment?
Yes. I think I'll take Bill
Snyder. At either rate, it's a hell of a lot closer than anybody in this city would like to admit.
Yes, exactly. Because everybody's going to go with the Bill Snyder thing. Everybody
hates Scott Drew.
Yeah.
So here's my frustration is, if Scott Drew's is a bigger accomplishment, it doesn't lessen Bill Snyder's.
Right. Exactly.
Bill Snyder's is whatever it is.
Yeah.
If on a 100-point scale it was a 98, is this bigger? Yeah, this is a 99. It doesn't make Bill Snyder's a 70, which is what everybody acts like when you say,
"Yeah, I know.
You know, this was actually better. My guy sucks." No, no. Your guy's phenomenal. His accomplishment was phenomenal. This was when somebody steps foot on Mars, it's going to have been a bigger accomplishment than stepping foot on the moon, but it's not going to make Neil Armstrong a clown.
Right.
Might end up being safer when they step on Mars than it was to step on the moon.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
My heroes. My boys. Strap them in that thing, that rocket, that firecracker, and fire it up there.
Frank,
we have no idea if it's coming back or not,
and
guys.
Neil Armstrong. You just cannot stop talking about him.
Yeah. Bill Snyder and Neil Armstrong. Nobody will ever be better.
There you go. Now we're talking. No,
don't talk about LeBron. Don't talk about Jordan.
Who?
George Mikan. It's over.
Mikanen.
George Mikanen.
I want to find out who the star player for CCNY was that year.
Yeah, that's you get to the bottom of that.
There we go.
You get to the bottom of that, Frank. Frank Bull, the godfather of Kansas City sports, is with us. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get some Frank opinions next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It wouldn't stay up. It would stay down. Yeah. It never froze in the up position.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. In the last 10 years, only two schools have won a road game against a top five team by more points than Illinois last night. I asked for either one. Creighton at number 4, Villanova by 28 in 2014. Ah! And Texas at Kansas just 2 months ago by 25.
So happy that it was Villanova. So happy.
96-68.
Hey, they're down on the three line now. Get off their back, will you? Come on, they in Kansas. They're both on the three line.
Yeah, whatever.
They're playing Creighton tonight.
Well, good. Maybe it'll be another beatdown.
Maybe.
We can all hope.
Maybe.
At
the Fin tonight.
All right, Frank Bull is with us. By the way, we were playing for some wonderful, what were we playing for? Jazz, great kitchen, great jazz. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Go to jazzkitchen.com to see the whole menu right now. Get it to take home tonight. The entire family will be happy. And don't forget Fridays, if you're observing Lent, they have an incredible seafood menu. Check it out. It's a great spot every Friday. Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Kay, let's get to some Frank opinions. Where do we start?
Do you still look away or change the channel when Super Bowl 55 highlights come on? Yes, no, or what is Super Bowl 55?
I think a lot of people are going to give him that one. No, I do not look away.
I look away. It sucks.
Okay.
Yeah. 59% said yes. 16% said no. 24% were like, I'm sorry, what now?
What happened?
It sucks.
You may have had to have seen SNL this past week to get this one, but obviously some people did. Have you ever had an awkward ride on the Viking Voyager? Yes, no, or I'd rather not say.
I'd rather not say. That was great.
Thank you to the great Heidi Gardner.
Yep.
Dropping that reference in.
Yeah, the world's
that
a fun reference.
Great. That was so fantastic.
Fantastic. I think everyone's going to say yes. You know, it's some kind of awkward, whether it's like, wait a minute, we got to sit how or who's sitting where. Or, yeah, I think there's a
who's
moment
in front?
Like that. Sure.
Actually, 56% said no, 29% said yes, 15% said, not talking about it.
That's
better,
me.
Better ballpark food item, hot dog, pretzel with cheese sauce. This is the Jed Marshall postulate.
Hot dog.
Pretzel with cheese sauce and spicy mustard. Nothing better.
75% said hot dog. 25%.
No one, the pretzel thing, just stop. Like the ballpark pretzels, I mean, listen, no offense. I'm not trying to get on the ballpark or anything. That's just not a food that lends itself to being fresh and tasty at the park.
You're saying a hot dog's food?
Yes.
No,
I am.
It's ballpark food, yeah.
These listeners are stupid.
It's movie food. It's ballpark food.
Yeah,
whatever.
Hot dog is not movie food. A hot dog is not movie.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
If you're going low carb, it is.
No, it's not.
What else are you going to get?
You're going to get popcorn. What else would you
get? That's not low carb, dumbass. I said if you're going low carb, it is.
Well, really
how's low,
low carb
working?
Pretzel's not low carb either. Are you kidding me?
It's another reason to get the hot dog.
You mean you can eat the hot dog with no bun?
I've done it.
Oh, God.
What was your reaction to the video of Tyreek Hill throwing down a windmill dunk? That was awesome. Please don't do that. Or awesome, don't do that.
Awesome, don't
awesome,
do that.
Awesome, don't do that.
Yeah.
64% said awesome, don't do that. 25% said awesome.
Is that old video? Is
no.
that his? That's
no.
new?
I don't think that's old.
Oh, remember
he was
the time
he was in Miami and tweeted out, where can I go play ball?
Jeez.
And, like, didn't you say Rick Burkhalter?
Yeah, Burkhalter put the emojis, which I found quite good.
Which like, aren't you thinking that he's got to know basketball?
Here, didn't he already have it? Wasn't it him?
Mahomes had it.
That was Mahomes.
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't he know? If Mahomes got it, I must have it too. The other thing is, didn't he say he wants to run in the Olympics? He'd like to try to run the sprints
probably.
In the Olympics?
Well, I mean, if the fat ass doesn't get in shape, then I don't know what he's talking about. Has there ever been a guy who's just more like, you can't physically look better than that?
No. No, it's insane.
Yeah, it is.
All right, two movie wins to close it out. Best Sylvester Stallone movie that is not part of either the Rocky or First Blood franchise. I did a pre-poll to get these four.
This is going to be tough.
Demolition Man, Over the Top, Cobra, Tango and Cash. My vote
First
is
of all,
Nighthawks.
But the right answer, Nighthawks is great. Victory is great.
Yes.
Yeah,
those are
good.
Two
Lords
two
of
old
Flatbush
ones that
before
are really
pre-Rocky.
But, Lords of Flatbush are good, yes.
Why aren't they included?
Because I did a pre-poll to see what the top four answers would be. First four to get 10 votes were in.
I've only seen two of those.
Demolition
I've seen
Man
all the
over
other
the top,
ones.
Cobra, Tango, and Cash.
The only two of those I've seen are Demolition Man and Tango and Cash. So I'll take Demolition Man.
I am going to say that off it's just pure, raw, unadulterated cheese, Over the Top is going to win this thing.
I was disappointed by this result.
Turn the hat around backwards and go Over the Top.
Because it's not accurate, nor is it cheesy. 38% said Tango and Cash, which is a letdown for me. 25.
I like Tango and Cash.
I do.
It was the debut of they're real and they're spectacular.
Yes.
That's where Terry Hatch made her debut.
Demolition Man, 25%. Over the Top, 24. Cobra, 13. And finally, what's the best of these four? Number one movie at the box office on your 21st birthday is how 2021's going to play out. These are our four. Sorens is Under Siege. Jed's is Man on Fire. Mine was Revenge of the Nerds 2. And Frank's The Graduate.
I lived to graduate, baby. Yeah,
It's definitely not The Graduate. But the other graduate. Three, how pathetic is that? Revenge of the Nerds 2. Under Siege. Man on
movie.
Fire.
Man on Fire is pretty good. Man on Fire.
They're all good. They're all good movies. Yeah. Well, Revenge of the Nerds too. Revenge of the Nerds was good, but just the fact that I'm going to be under siege, that is fantastic.
You are under siege. That's the
I am under siege.
You are.
Trust me, the day we did this too was the worst day, and they were just laughing that was my movie. It's like, oh my God, that's so perfect for you.
So who wins?
I'll go under siege.
28% said Revenge of the Nerds 2, 25% said Under Siege, 23% said Man on Fire, 22% said the best movie, The Graduate.
Petro in a landslide.
I win. There it is. Thank you. We'll take a break. Come back. What in the world, Soren? How stupid am I on current events?
The Program with Soren Petro.
What a dumbass.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Frank, what in the world? What do you got for me?
All right, buddy, what famous Hasbro toy is now gender neutral?
Mr. Potato Person?
Very good.
I nailed
Not it. Mr., just Potato Head.
Yeah, Potato Head.
Okay, what two states have dropped all COVID-19 mandates, including masks?
I heard Texas was going to do that.
That's one.
Sounds like something Texas would do. Is that not the only one?
No, one other one. Deep South.
Florida.
Mississippi. Number three, what local comedian, writer, producer won a Golden Globe?
By the
Globe?
Way, they must be so proud.
I know. What local comedian, writer, producer won a Golden Globe? Yeah, him.
Was the Colonel. Was the Colonel.
No.
I don't know who.
Jason Sudeikis Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And who got their first dose of COVID-19 vax?
Oprah.
Me.
Nice. Congrats, Frank.
End of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, two players have finished their college career in the top 10 in rushing yards despite playing only three seasons. Name either one. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.